This is Brother Tim McVeigh, and he's a great preacher, good friend of ours over the years. I haven't seen him in quite a while, and he's lost about a whole person, and he has. And I started my diet yesterday and bloated this morning. No, I just ate one little piece of bread. So y'all pray for me about that. I'm trying to drop just a little bit. I feel like 50 pounds of flour in a 10-pound sack right now. And so, Brother Blue's nodding your head. I look like it. I must look like it. But y'all pray for us. But pray for this man of God. And I appreciate him and his family being able to be with us, he and his wife and daughter. And so y'all pray for him. I just feel like we need to just get on in some preaching this morning. So that's what we're going to do.
Thank you for all that you've done to help us through this time. We're grateful for that. We've finished up our 12th year full-time on the road, and when I went out, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know anything. I thought I did. And out on the road full-time, quit my job a little over 12 years ago. And I never asked for support. We never raised support. Missions conference down here. Blame Brother Travis Clayton for that, if you want to blame. And he advised to come down, and this church took us on for support and supported us for several years. And it's not that we were mad or you all dropped us. It's just that we started the small business that sustains us so that we can go into small churches, communities, without having to burden them down with our finances. And so we declined support at that point. The Lord has just saw fit to take care of us through that. And so with the Lord's help, we plan on finishing our 12th year on the road. We thank you for your prayers, for your support, and the many friends we've made over the years, the fellowship that God has given us in this church and through this church. And it seems as though everywhere we go in ministry, we cross paths with somebody from Concord Baptist Church. And many times we've been in meetings with Brother Allen, had the opportunity to fellowship as well as preach with Brother Allen. And I even hate to say this, but even Brother Clayton, we used to see Brother Clayton. And as a matter of fact, you know, I don't know of many other evangelists that have evangelists, but the Lord gave us a meeting one time, and we had Brother Travis Clayton come preach for a whole week. I don't want to take shots, but your pastor, Brother Randy, he could only show up one night, but the rest of us endured all week, and so I actually booked them for a meeting. Amen. And what an odd thing. Up there in Pennsylvania, they came. And, but anyway, let me just get to the message. I'm just rambling because of the nerves. But Atkins has said it best yesterday, the nerves never go away. Ecclesiastes, I should go to Proverbs first, actually. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. And I'll just read this one verse and then try to just help, ask the Lord to help us with this verse and subsequent verses. We'll be turning quite a bit this morning. I will try to mind the time. I certainly want to hear somebody else preach. In Proverbs 20 and verse 27, the Bible says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." It's not that that goes in a man that defiles him. What comes out of his belly, if you will, that defiles him. What he is, it's his makeup, it's his being. Every one of us in this world, not just the saints of God, but have the spirit of man. That's that spirit that God has given you. That's that spirit that God loves. That's that spirit that Christ died for. Your character flaws, your sin, the failures of your life are separate from that spirit that's within you. God gave you that spirit because he loves you. He cares about you. It's a gift from the Lord, if you will. It's the candle of the Lord searching the inward parts of the belly. It's searching the depths of who you are. It's revealing to you who you are. Now, when we ignore it and we, because of our character, because of our multitude of sins, we try to push it aside, we try to hide it. But I find it interesting, he calls it the candle of the Lord. A candle is a very small light, but it lights a very small area. But in lighting that area, you can distinguish
what's in that small area in the light of that candle. It just needs to be enough light to light the belly. It's just a very small light in us, but the Lord uses that to search us out, to find out who we are, what we are, and the Lord also uses that, I want to say then, to reveal in us what we are. Secondly, if you'll go to Ecclesiastes then in verse or chapter 3, and I'll just read one verse there. And we see what happens to this spirit of man. And the Bible says in verse 21, "Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth?" So the question is, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? Well, if it's a candle of the Lord, I would say that the Lord knoweth the spirit of man. He knows what's in us. He knows what we are. He knows, by the way, I want to just say this, he knows what it's going to take to bring us individually, personally, to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is the grace of God. Every one of us has a different background, a different manner of life. I grew up in church, was a rebel, hated God. That's why I was a rebel, and all rebels hate God. And I wanted my riotous living. I fain would have filled my belly with the husks. I was enjoying the hog pen, as filthy as that is. And the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart. He had to bring me from the depths of sin and bring me to a place where I could come to the realization that I was a sinner, and with repentance and faith was gloriously saved on that Sunday afternoon in Central Virginia. My wife was raised in church, stayed in church, has never touched liquor, has never touched tobacco, has never dealt with the vices of sin that I dealt with, yet God still had to bring her to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He did that by searching the inward parts of the belly. He searched out what she was, searched out what I was. Each of us has a different testimony in here. For years, I've heard Brother Randy sing that song, "Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore." And you can see, folks, that we're in the depths of sin and begin to rejoice, and the tears begin to flow because we can remember the nights of hangover and of hurt and of the vileness of sin. And others, even raised in church, the secret life, the secret double life, the hypocrisy, trying to bury what they really are, and God revealing that, and the tears begin to flow for each of us because, thanks to Calvary, we don't live where we once lived. Thirdly, in Zechariah 12 and verse 1, Zechariah tells us in the understanding here where the spirit of man comes from, and it is from the Lord. Every man born into this world has this spirit. Verse 1 of Zechariah 12, "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth." And then he said, "and formeth the spirit of man within him." That tells me it's not a cookie cutter. This isn't just a stamp that you pump out. This same person, the same clone, if you will. It's not that we all each have the same actions, the same mannerisms, the same personality. No, each one of us is as different as the snowflake that falls from heaven, because God has formed you to be what you are. God has put that candle in you to make you what you are. Every preacher that stands in this pulpit is different from every other preacher that stands here, because God has formed within him the spirit of who he is and what he is and how he responds and how he acts. And any flaw that that man has is not from his personality, it's from his character. It's from who he has become. Sin has taken a toll on us. Our flesh has taken a toll on us. Temptation has taken a toll on us. And those flaws in us come from the influences on us, and they appear as though they come from deep within, but they're simply in this flesh. If you go over to 1 Corinthians, we'll take the thrust of the message from 1 Corinthians, and we're going to look in chapter 2. The Bible tells us in chapter 2 and verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man?" And he said this, "save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He tells in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And there is the disconnect between the hypocrite, between the blatant open sinner, between the lost to this world and the child of God. There is that gap in that the child of God receives things from the Spirit of God. It's not just that spirit of man that's in him that's teaching him. We all know the things of a spirit of man. There are things that each one of us, Brother Randy hit on this morning already, just in us, we know that we need food. We need a substitute. Listen, the Bible tells us in context, we can understand what a man robs to feed his family. We can understand that. Why? Because in the spirit of man, in us, I can understand a man that needs to feed his family. He becomes so desperate that he robs somebody else to feed his family. But the Spirit of God said, thou shalt not steal. The Spirit of God said, if a man stole, let him steal no more. Why? Because he needs to learn how to labor with his hands. And his hands need to do something constructive so that he does not steal, that he does not rob from others, because the Spirit of God tells us, thou shalt not steal. We can understand these things because of who we are and because the makeup that each one of us has. There's things we can understand and they make sense to us and they're logical to us. But as our dear brother preached the other day, nevertheless, it's not always beneficial for us. It's not always right for us. Just because it's our thinking, it's our way, it makes sense to us, it's logical to us, this seems like the best path to take. The Spirit of God is saying, no, that's not the path you need to take. That's not the direction I have for you. And then he tells us in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He cannot understand faith. Listen, the natural man can give to faith promise. The natural man can rejoice during the preaching. The natural man can understand the emotion of a service like we had last night. He can go down to the arena and celebrate as the saints of God celebrated last night. He can come to the house of God and cannot find a difference because his emotion is stirred in him. There's an excitement in the things of God. And so therefore he is stirred within himself and he can shout and he can run. But there's one thing he cannot do. He cannot worship in truth. He can worship in spirit, but he cannot worship in truth. Why? Because there is no truth in the inward parts. Because these things are spiritually discerned. He said, I want to understand this. I want to grasp this. Nevertheless, I'm going to run in my energy what I have, what's within me. I'm going to run with that and go with that and see where it is. But the Bible tells us these things are spiritually discerned. Discernment has to do with the things we can see, the things that we can touch, the things that we can hear, the things we can feel. The first mention in the Bible, when Jacob is supplanting Esau and he comes in and his father, he could not discern that he was being deceived. Why? He felt the hairy arms. He ate of that which was said to be from the field, and he thought this was Esau, but because of his sight was dim, because of his old age, he could not discern that it was Jacob and not Esau. His flesh failed him. Our flesh will fail us. If you try to discern things in you, through you, you will misunderstand. Because what we're looking at is through the eyes of flesh. What we're listening to is through the eye or through the ear of flesh. What we touch is through the feeling of flesh. And so because we come with that idea, we say, well, I think I understand this. I have a grasp on this. It looks like this. It feels like this. It sounds like this. But preacher, again, nevertheless, the Spirit of God spiritually discerns these things, and he can give us that discernment. But it's contrary to what we want. Let me give you a couple verses. I want to go to Proverbs 7, and I want to identify this here. And I want you to look at just a couple things quickly in Proverbs 7 concerning this matter of discernment. In Proverbs 7 and verse 6, and I'll go through this very quickly with the Lord's help. He said, for at the window of my house, and I want you to look again at the first thing, I looked through the casement. My eyes are looking at something. I am seeing something. I'm peering out the window, and I have visualized this problem and beheld among the simple ones. And here's the word he used. I discerned with what? His seeing. He discerned with what he visualized. He discerned with things around him. He took notice of them. He didn't just put the blinders on and act like it wasn't there. He said, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. How did he know he was void of understanding? Well, with the Lord's help, we'll come back to that in just a moment. Passing through the street near her corner. And he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark of night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. Now, just a couple factors in this. How did he discern this? Can I say the natural man looks at it through the eyes of man? He says, I see this woman, and first of all, she has the attire of a harlot. And can I say with a smile on my face, I've learned a few things in 12 years. If it dresses like a harlot, it's because it has the heart of a harlot. You wear a harlot's attire, don't get upset when somebody wrongfully identifies what you are. And she was subtle of heart, meaning she had deceit in her heart. She's saying to this young man, I love you. Come. Come to me. I have affection for you. I love you. I want. And she's subtle of heart. Her entire motive is to destroy him. How did this man discern that? Just through looking, just through seeing. Well, can I say there was a history? He knew where the woman with the attire of a harlot was. He knew where her house was. But then let's look at it through spiritual eyes. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. So he sees him under the cover of darkness, in the darkness of night, and he discerns this. There's something wrong because he's not going down there with a track in his pocket in the middle of the day. And can I say this, not trying to get too far out of bounds, he doesn't have a Bible in his hand. He's going under the cover of darkness. He's sneaking to her house where no one can see him. He's hoping that nobody notices him. And he's going to the place where a woman is subtle of heart and dresses like a harlot. But then he also said this of him. This young man is going down to her house, but he said he's void of understanding. Again, let's back up and look at that spiritually. Flee fornication. He said to flee fornication. Stay away from. Run from. Make haste to get away from. So spiritually, he's saying, okay, this young man is making a serious mistake. There's a woman down there that's alone. Here's a young man that's alone. Under the cover of darkness, I'm discerning he's going down there. There's nothing good out of this. Therefore, he is void of understanding. He's making decisions based on his flesh, not spiritual decisions. He just discerned this looking out the casement of his window. Can I say, church, we need to put on spiritual eyes, take the scripture, seal it in our hearts, and make discerning decisions concerning the lives of the people we're dealing with rather than put the blinders on because they repeated the prayer. There's a young man void of understanding. He has no idea what he's getting himself into. He thinks it's going to be okay. Can I say again, the eyes of spiritual discernment says it's good. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. That's what the Bible says. I know it's not popular, but it's good for a man not to. Why is he going down to somebody's house that he has no business touching? Why is he going under the cover of darkness into her house? Can I say it's good for a man not to be alone? He's alone. He has put himself in a position where there's no safety net, there's no protection, there's nobody there to say, hey, young man, stop what you're doing. He said, I know this young man has no understanding. I've discerned this just by what I've seen. He does not have understanding. Hebrews 4, if you'll go there with me and just take another look at this, and I know you know the passage quite well. We know the Word of God is quick, powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow. And the Bible said this then, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God is that light which is in us, which discerns our thoughts. It discerns our intents. It shows us what's in our heart. It reveals what's in our heart. Not just, listen, the outward things we do, but the things that we can contrive in our heart, the wickedness we can conceive in our heart, even the very thought of our heart. It can cut in there and show us that thought is in your heart. It can discern those things. Why? Through the eyes of faith. Through the eyes of the Spirit of God searching us. That's God searching the inward parts of the belly. That's God warning us, saying, stay away from this. Flee from her house. Look at her heart. Look at her attire. Look at her actions. Look at her life. You need to flee, young man. Stay away, young man. But he has no understanding. Why does he have no understanding? Because he's ignoring that candle that's in there. And he's going to go ahead and follow his being, his character, his ideals, his thinking. He's not going to follow the thinking of the Spirit of God. Why? Because those thoughts are spiritually discerned. He has no spiritual. When I first got saved, I don't want to say I had no spiritual discernment, but I had very little spiritual discernment. But there's something on the inside. There's just this flashing red light saying, don't. I didn't even understand the scriptures. Now, when I say understand the scriptures, I mean as a whole. I know about half of 1% of what the scripture says today, and I'm far more advanced than I was 22 years ago. But at that time, I had really no knowledge of the scripture. But this red light would flash in my soul saying, don't do it. And then one day I'd stumble on a verse and go, oh, that's why. You know, look not upon the wine when it turneth in the cup. Why? Because wine's a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And he says, whosoever's deceived thereby is. And I said, oh Lord, that's why you got me away from the cup. That's why you took the liquor out of my life. That's why you, because it's a deceit. It's a deceiver and it's a mocker. That's why you pulled this out of my life. Because the Holy Ghost of God in the believer is telling them, hey, listen, whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you understand it or not, here's what the scriptures say, and I bear witness of the scripture. And in the heart of the believer, the Spirit of God's saying, no. Or he's saying, yes, depending on the situation, whether or not you have the knowledge of the scripture. But then when you have the knowledge of the scripture, when you understand the scripture, and that light begins to bear witness in your heart, my friend, you'll so grieve the Spirit of God because you're sinned not through ignorance, but through willful deceit of the heart, and you willfully sin against the Spirit of God because now you have the witness of the Holy Ghost, and now you have the witness of the Scriptures, you have the witness of the discerner and the thoughts of the intents of the heart, and you're sinning against the discernment of God in your life. Meanwhile, that candle's in there. Searching out who you are. Letting you know what you are. Why is it good for a man not to touch a woman? Because let's be honest, men are pretty shallow creatures. We're easily deceived. And because we're easily deceived, you start to hold hands, cozy up with, and your heart starts to being distracted. The Word of God is trying to show that warning, saying, hey, you better watch out. Because the Word of God tells you it's not good for you to touch that woman, but in your mind, you're going to all be okay. That spirit of man is in him saying, well, I'll be fine with this. I can get along fine with this. You think that young man in his life started out as a young man, he's just one day said, you know what, I'm going down to that woman's house. No, it's just so that time of deceit. He's a youth. He's a young man. But he has no understanding. What is it that attracted him? Most likely the attire of a harlot. That's why harlots dress that way, because there's an attraction. It draws them. It catches the eye. It woos the eye. That spirit of man that's in him goes, woo, she sure is pretty. My grandma, Lord willing, next week, 97 years old. Now, most of you probably wouldn't find her beautiful. I find her quite beautiful. My aunt texted us a picture a couple months ago during apple season, and my grandmother, 96 years old, she's out there standing on a stool, which, you know, is kind of sad for her grandson, and she's out there picking apples in the apple tree. Now, you can say what you want to say about that. I find that very attractive. Why? A woman picking apples? I like it. Just being honest with you. Why? Because what's coming out of it? Apple sauce? Apple pie? Amen. Apple cake? I mean, there's going to be a benefit to this. But my grandmother at almost 97 years old, we got to see her this summer and just spend some time with her. And that beauty is not in what men see it is. It's not in the outward. It's not in the external. When my grandfather met her back in 1945, he's in Spokane, Washington, in the Army hospital, sick with dysentery. And he meets this beautiful nurse. And she said of this, she said, he was a beautiful man. That's what she said of my grandpa. It's genetic. Amen. And so at his funeral, my grandmother comes and lays her hand on his head and strokes his hair. And you know what she said? She said, Papa, you're still beautiful. You're still beautiful. Dementia had wasted away his mind, frailed his body. Age had taken his teeth and taken his skin and destroyed his looks from the outward. But my grandmother walked up and stroked his head. You're still beautiful. Let me tell you why. The last Sunday in 1952, Missionary Alliance Holiness Church of Yakima, Washington. That old drunk, that old World War II veteran, a hero of the United States, Bronze Star, two Purple Hearts. He surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ that last Sunday in 1952. Two Sundays later, my grandmother walked the aisle and gave her heart to Jesus Christ. They gave up the smoking, gave up the liquor, gave up all of those things, and the Spirit of God took up residence in their life and began to change them from the inside out. And as a young man, I remember up there at the lake, and I remember fishing with my grandpa there in Maryland. They'd flown out to see us. And here comes my buddy around the corner of the lake, and he's got a case of beer up on his shoulder. And I said, Grandpa, try a spot over there fishing. I took off running around that hill. I stopped him. I said, put that down, put that. My grandpa's over there. He said, who cares? I said, I care. That's my grandpa over there. Why was that? Because there was something inside of me. There was light in my soul that was telling me, listen, it's a shame for you. It's an embarrassment for you. If you bring that beer over here and drink that in front of your grandpa, what an embarrassment when that man of God has raised you and raised your mother and taught you right. What a shame it would be. Yeah. 2001, I got to tell my grandpa that story. He said, I know Tim. All those years he knew. I saw that man with that beard. He said, I just prayed for you. That light was lit in my soul. That candle was inside of my heart, searching the inward parts of the belly. The day God saved me, it blossomed into a well of water, ever springing up out of my heart and ever springing up out of my soul. And the Word of God began to discern my thoughts, began to discern my intents. And all of a sudden, I wasn't comfortable living the life I was living. I wasn't comfortable living the way I was living. I wasn't comfortable living where I was living because something bigger than me had taken up residence in there. And that candle of the Lord had exploded in my soul. And light began to emanate out of me and reach into others. And for 22 years, we've been trying to reach people with the gospel. That light's in every man. They just tried to quench it. They just tried to destroy it. But the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, this precious Word of God, is searching out those things that it might show to men those things freely given of Him. These things are spiritually discerned. Listen, I don't want to be mean-spirited about this or ugly about this. But we're in a day when I've watched what they call standards just completely fall away. There's no conduct becoming Christians anymore. There's no conduct of dress and modesty and decency. There's no standard anymore. Why? Because I don't believe that the Spirit of God is dealing with people in that matter because they're not children of God until God shows them that they're lost and they come to the understanding that they're lost. Why is God going to clean them up? They need an internal cleansing. And we can discern that if we'll be honest about that. We can look at that and say, you know what, there's something wrong here. There's something outwardly. I see this. I don't want to live in denial of this. I know they've made professions. I know they've walked the aisle. I know they've been dunked in the water. But outwardly, I can see there's something outwardly wrong with this attire of a harlot, the actions of a harlot. They go to places harlots go. And there's young men chasing around like puppy dogs. Show me a young man chasing a woman in the attire of a harlot. I'm not going to accuse him of being spiritual. I'm not going to say that's a spiritual young man. I'm going to say, hey, that young man needs some help. He needs some wisdom. He needs some discernment. Little puppy dogs chasing around. Why? They need the Spirit of God in the inside is what they need. That discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He won't get away with his thinking anymore. His thinking will change. That's what repentance does. Repentance will change your mind about things. When you come to that place where you're ready to change your mind about God, change your mind about you, change your mind about the Word. I mean, it's all encapsulated. It's probably 30 or 40 things you got to change your mind about. And when you come to that place and God brings you to that place and you're willing to repent, He'll save you. But if you hold on to those things and your thinking won't change and you refuse to change your thinking, and my friend, you'll never turn after you repent. You'll never turn to Christ from sin. Why? Because your mind has not been made up concerning Christ. Holy Ghost takes up residence. He has to discern those things in our heart and our thinking. He'll change the way we think. In doing so, He'll change the way we live. Spirit of the Lord. Spirit of man is a candle of the Lord. It's searching the inward part of the belly. It's that little flickering light lets you know what you are. You just got to be honest about it. Holy Ghost of God is dealing with you and showing you. You got to be honest about it. What people do, and I'll just be honest, I've been this quite a while now, they run back to that profession. They run back to a time when they went through the motions of religion. They felt what they were obligated to do, what somebody maybe talked them into doing, or what seemed, and listen, I'm not mocking, what seemed right to do. It's not wrong to profess Christ. It's not wrong to come to the altar and say, you know what, I believe God saved me and I want to live for God. But when you go back into that life of sin and the Holy Ghost of God deals with you again, you know what it's time to do? Just do a quick checkup and say, Lord, I need to look at this through your eyes, not my eyes. I would have never got saved if I had kept looking through my eyes because I couldn't discern what was in me. That light sprung up in my heart. It didn't take me long to figure out what I was. God ripped that cover off my heart and showed me the ugliest sight I've ever seen. It was my heart. That candle in my heart began to reveal what I was. And can I be honest? Repentance isn't hard. It wasn't hard. When God showed me what it was and what I was, I didn't have to struggle with repentance. I didn't have to pray through. I didn't have to beg God to give me repentance. No. When God showed me what I was, I passed from darkness into light. I passed from death unto life. God changed me eternally. And my friend, I've been walking with Christ ever since. When He showed me what I was, I want to thank Him, preacher.
Well, Ricky, if you will, Sister Adriana, you come. Brother Ricky, let's get us a song here. I feel like we need to do an invitation right now. If you need to come, talk to the Lord this morning. Ask God to help you with some struggles, maybe some things going on in your life.